Now then, the drama, published in 1952, it's a love story that broke all the rules for the portrayal of gay women in American fiction. Miranda Richardson is the star of Carol by Patricia Highsmith.
Perhaps I noticed her because she was alone. Or because a mink coat was a rarity. Or because she was blondish and seemed to give off light. Instantly, I loved her. And instantly, I was terrified.
New York, Wednesday, December 18th, 1948, 4:10 p.m.
Excuse me, miss. Do you have the dolls that wet? The little ones that wet? Miss?
I'm sorry, I'm not...
The drinksy wetsy. You have them advertised.
Yes, madam.
Top shelf. You're a new girl, aren't you?
Yes, just for Christmas.
You gotta learn how to save yourself a little. Worse it gets tomorrow. Here.
And don't tell her they got them cheaper in the basement.
Thanks. I won't.
Madam, is this... Oh, is that hair real, do you think? I do want it real. And it must cry when it bends over. Does it cry?
I think you have to... Here.
Miss Bellamy, have you had your 4 o'clock relief yet?
No, Miss Davis.
Well, could you take it, please, Miss Bellamy?
Yes, Miss Davis. Sorry, madam. I think you have to sort of... Like this. There.
Oh, well, that's just perfect. Would you look at that? Charge it to this address, would you please? Oh, and Merry Christmas.
And to you, madam.
One more week.
A week of this?
Oh.
Hey, you okay, little girl?
Yes, sorry. My head...
You gotta learn how to save yourself a little. You got food at home?
No, I'm gonna buy something later, on the way. Thank you.
For what?
For looking after me.
Sit. So, you like it here in Frankenburg's?
Well, yes. And like my boyfriend says, who gives a job 2 weeks before Christmas to a stage designer apprentice?
I'm sure. And what kind of a stage design would you make for a play happening in a store?
A store like this?
Like this.
Oh, a zoo. But one where all the animals know they'll get out. Eventually.
You're a nice girl. So young. And pretty.
I'll miss you, my love.
A job? A real job? Where?
Richard!
In the village. With that fellow Phil McElroy I told you about? The one with the stock company, the black cat?
Do you even know what kind of play it is?
I don't know anything except they need somebody for sets, and hell, why not you? You got more talent than the rest of them put together.
Not even who's the lead?
Hey, we could put some of the money towards our Europe trip. Better to go early than wait till everything's so crowded over there, people say. So, I was thinking March. Terry, there's nothing to stop us, is there?
No, there's nothing to stop us. I wonder how many sets they'll need.
Do you have beer?
In the icebox.
Let's head out to eat, shall we? Terry?
Richard wanted to marry me, and I knew he would ask me again before we left on that trip. Sometimes I thought I was in love with him, but... Well, let's just say the feeling bore no resemblance to the ecstatic madness I'd read so much about. The 28th, the job started, but that was later. It was after. The next day was the 19th. Thursday, the 19th of December, 1948. I had just dealt with a woman on crutches who wanted a doll with stiff legs. She kept telling me little girls had to stand up by themselves, and I was putting the box away with my back turned when...
May I see one of those dolls' valises? The one on the display case is the one I want, but I don't suppose I can have that, can I? Well?
Calm gray eyes. And it happened. My face started to...
Can I?
Let me get the key.
Your supervisor will have a fit, won't she?
Oh, it doesn't matter, really.
All right, then I'll take it. COD. And what about some clothes? Dolls do love changes of clothing, don't they?
No, they're separate. If you want clothes, the dolls' clothing department is across the aisle.
All right, thank you. And it will get to New Jersey before Christmas. It's for my daughter, you see.
Yes, it'll arrive Monday at the latest. That's 2 days before.
Good. Sorry, I don't mean to make you nervous.
No.
I'm Mrs. H.F. Aird. A-I-R-D.
And if it won't get there, I thought...
48.
Then I'll deliver it myself.
West Edmonds Avenue, Ridgewood.
Like a secret.
New Jersey. I'm sure just one string around the parcel would do fine.
There.
Thank you.
You're...
What?
You're supposed to keep the second slip, the yellow one.
Oh, I always lose them. But you know, they always give me the parcel anyway.
Gray, colorless fire. She walked away slowly, and I didn't say what I might have said. I didn't call out. Mrs. Ayer?
Yes?
You are magnificent. Why can't we see each other again? I just watched her. Then, at 3 o'clock that afternoon, I went down to the first floor greetings card department and brought a plain blue and gold card and went to the restroom to write it. Special salutations of the season. Staff number 645A. Well, what could happen? After all, I was going to be leaving the store in 10 days. On the way home, an idea came to me for a stage set, a kind of vortex full of doors, full of ways out, and I wanted to show it to someone. Richard came by and he asked me to go out Sunday to have dinner with his family, and he asked me if there was anything new today, and I said...
New? No. No, nothing.
The next day was the Friday, the last Friday before Christmas. Pandemonium.
They should close the doors downstairs.
What?
I can't... excuse me. Do you have a doll made of cloth with pigtails, miss?
Just a moment, please. Yes, madam, we do.
I'm sorry, but that's really a little bigger than I wanted. I'm sending it to Australia, you see, to a friend.
Miss Bellavette.
Well, I'm sure if I look...
Miss Bellavette.
Yes?
You're wanted on the telephone.
Yes, Miss Davis. Mrs. Robichek, could you...
Sure, I could.
Do excuse me, madam.
I've made it a little uniform, you see, for my friend.
Excuse me.
And so it does have to be a little doll.
A uniform. How nice. Now...
Hello?
Hello, is this co-worker 645A, Therese Bellavette? Go ahead,
Richard,
caller.
What is
Hello,
it? Is it about the job?
Thank you for your Christmas card. This is Mrs. Aird. You are the one who sent it?
Yes. I'm very sorry if it annoyed you.
Well, this is very funny.
Why?
You must be the girl in the toy department.
Yes.
Well, it was extremely nice of you. The card. That's the way things should be at Christmas between strangers.
It was very nice waiting on you.
Thank you. Listen, I'm coming into New York tomorrow in the morning anyway. Since it is Christmas, why don't we meet up for coffee? Or lunch, even. Downstairs at the 34th Street entrance at 12?
Well, I only have an hour on Saturday.
Good. I'll see you then.
Mrs. Aird, what's your... Hello? Hello?
Well, here's to Christmas.
Did you think it was a man who sent it?
I thought it might just be a man in the ski department.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I doubt very much if I'd have gone to lunch with him. I'm delighted that it was you.
What's your name?
Mrs. H. F. Aird.
Your first name.
Oh, my name. Carol. How do you like yours pronounced?
Just the way you do.
Okay. Well then, Therese, what do you do when you're not selling dolls or designing stage sets? On Sundays, for instance. This Sunday.
Nothing in particular. I don't always know.
Why don't you come out and visit me? At least there's some country around where I live. I could pick you up on the corner of 34th Street, about 11:30. Well, what do you say?
I say yes. Yes, Carol. Richard was waiting for me after work. He told me he'd booked our tickets to Europe, and he asked me again if I could go out Sunday to have dinner with his family. And then, when we got back to the steps of my brownstone, he asked if he could come up to the apartment. I had to think about it, about trying all that again, because he was thinking about it. But all I could really think about was tomorrow morning on the corner of 34th Street, 19 blocks and 13 hours away. And if she's late, I thought, if Carol is late, I'll probably stand there in the wind with ice on my teeth and wait all day.
No, Richard. I can't. And I can't go to Europe with you either.
Why not?
Because I can't, okay?
Okay, honey. I'm sorry I asked again. Forget about it. And about Europe, too. We'll be fine. Good night. Hey? We'll be fine, Terry.
All day and all night. Well, she was late. A quarter of an hour late.
Hi. Over here.
I thought you weren't coming.
Sorry. Are you freezing? Well, get in.
Thanks. And no, I'm fine.
Oh, Therese. What a strange girl you are.
Why?
Flung out of space.
How did she know that? How did she know?
There's black coffee in that thermos. Why don't you help yourself? I'll be at my place in half an hour.
Flung out of space.
I fell in love with you the first time I looked into them.
Sunday, December 22nd, 1948. 48 West Edmonds Avenue, Ridgemount, New Jersey, 12:10 p.m.
Come in. There's no one here but the maid, and she's far away. Take off your coat. The kitchen's through here. We'll be more comfortable. I'm just going to have a drink. Coke for you?
Thank you. Is that picture your little girl?
Yeah. Randy. Narinda. She's seven. Here you are.
Thanks.
So how many times have you done that?
What?
Started talking to someone in a store.
Never.
Doesn't a girl have to be careful who she starts talking to in a store?
Yes.
Honestly. How old are you, Therese?
19.
Oh, you're a child. Give me that Coke. I'm going to fix you some hot milk and take you upstairs and put you to bed for a nap.
Coke is fine. Thank you.
Do you know how lucky you are? To just be able to take this theater job of yours? To just do that and move from one place to another? You're free. You do realize that, don't you?
I looked up at a clock, like I'd got used to doing at the store, and I can remember it was 4:15. I could imagine the taste of that hot milk spreading inside me like blood and bone, drinking it to the bottom of the cup like a potion in a fairy tale, and I wanted to tell her everything.
Oh. Therese, would you excuse me?
Should I leave?
Not unless you want to. It'll be my husband, Hargis. I'd forgotten he said it would be drunk.
Good morning.
Hart, how prompt. This is Miss Bellavette. Therese, meet Mr. Aird.
How do you do?
How do you do? Sorry to disturb you, Carol. I just wanted to collect one or two things for Rindy. That watercolor set she likes, and I suppose you want me to take her something for Christmas Day.
Oh, thanks. I'll give her my things when I finally see her. I'll just fetch the pants.
And are you from New York, Miss Bellavette?
Yes, from New York.
I see. A new friend of Carol's.
Yes.
Yes, a new friend. Here they are.
Thank you. When shall I say you'll give your presents to Rindy?
Well, what if I give her nothing, Harge? Because you can always top me when it comes to giving presents, you know. Always.
Carol, please don't. Just... I should go. I'm on my way over to Cynthia's now, but I could drop back around 8.
Harge, what's the purpose? Especially if you're so disagreeable.
Our daughter is the purpose, Carol. Goodbye, Miss Bellavette.
Sorry. He's not always so rude.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you. Look, would you mind if I put you on the train back tonight instead of driving you home?
No, of course.
There's one in about 15 minutes.
Fine. Will I see you again?
Of course.
Of course I would see her again. Maybe tomorrow in the store. And if I didn't, Tuesday was Christmas Eve, and that would mean I could call her and wish her a Merry Christmas. A number had been on the phone. So were they getting divorced? Richard said it was usual for people to fall out of love after 2 years of marriage. And I? Was I in love with her already? Could I say that? The word was there, from nowhere, right in my mouth. All the way back to New York. Right in my mouth. Christmas Eve at the store was strange, quiet, and nobody in a hurry. But I felt, well, Mrs. Robocheck even said it.
You look happy. Little girl.
And then there was Miss Davis.
Miss Bellavette.
And there, at 4:45 on Christmas Eve, it was. A telegram for me. Downstairs at 5 p.m. Carol.
Downstairs at 5 p.m. Carol.
Rudolph.
Oh! Hey, let's do the tree now. I've got a white cotton blanket for the snow around the bottom and there's sugar in the kitchen to make it glisten. And change that station.
We'd bought it from a roadside place she'd pulled into suddenly. And she'd made me choose it. Even the touch of the needles made me happy.
Okay, what else do we need?
There's ribbon and tissue paper. Nothing. I'm good at this.
You are. Huh? Drink?
No, thanks.
Okay.
Pass those scissors.
What do you have to do tomorrow?
For Christmas?
Yes. See Richard?
Only for lunch. For his family. But it's not important.
I could drive you in early, and you could use Rindy's room tonight.
And that gold ribbon? Won't she be here?
The lawyers agreed to let me have Rindy for 9 months while we were arguing, and then Harge for 3, and he got her first. I didn't want it to be tossed back and forth, so no. No, she won't be here.
I'm sorry.
I thought I might take a trip, you know? A little trip somewhere to fill in the time. Maybe with an old friend of mine, Abby, if she's free. I just need to not be here. Oh, I'm sorry. What a conversation for Christmas Eve. You're an angel to be free tonight. You know that?
There. Look.
My. You are good. Angels to keep me safe. Ribbons. Everything but presents. What do you want for Christmas, Therese?
Me? Me? Nothing.
Oh, God. Christmas Day with the family. Come on, let's get up on the hill and watch the kites.
Okay.
What's the matter, baby?
Oh, it's Phil's play. I can't get any ideas in my head for the setting, and I start Saturday.
Is that why you were so worried all through lunch?
What makes you think I'm worried?
Oh, Terry, come on. Up the hill, and then we'll head back into town, and I'll read it with you, even though it is Christmas Day. And stop worrying. Rehearsals aren't till January.
January. January was a door. And a whole year. I saw her in her living room, in Chinatown, in a bar on Madison Avenue. And sometimes I wrote her letters as well, which I didn't mail. Mr. McElroy was pleased with my set, eventually. And I asked him if he could introduce me to anyone else, Myron Blanchard maybe, or even Iva Harkavy on Broadway. But... Hello?
Hello, Therese. This is Abby. I'm a friend of Carol's, an old friend, and I'd like to meet you.
All right. Where?
The Palermo. That's just 2 blocks from this little black cat theater of yours, isn't it?
Yes.
Good. 1 o'clock, okay?
January 28th, 1949.
Now, how about a drink? Some wine?
No, thanks.
You mean you're this happy without a drink?
So, have you known Carol a long time?
Mm-hmm.
And you know a husband, too, of course.
I do. For years.
Carol mentioned a trip. Do you take a lot of trips with her?
A lot? No, why?
I should think you'd be good for her. Carol's so serious.
Not all the time, she isn't. You know Carol's got a lot of worries right now, don't you?
Yes.
And she's lonely.
Do you want to tell me that I shouldn't see her?
No, but I don't want you to get hurt. And I don't want you to hurt Carol.
I would never hurt Carol.
No. I don't think you would. No wonder she thinks so much of you. Well, you win, Miss Bellavette.
Win? Win what?
So long, Therese. Give Carol my regards when you see her tonight, won't you?
Abby's a very old friend of mine, and she cares. She's just clumsy sometimes.
Have you decided how soon you're going away?
Maybe in a week. And maybe west to Illinois. Or Wyoming. Why?
Nothing.
I was thinking you might like to go with me once your job's finished. Unless you've been offered something new. You wouldn't need much money. You'd go in the car.
All right. All right, I'll come.
All right, I'm delighted. Here. Happy Christmas after all.
What is it? I can't take a check for $200.
Of course you can. It's about time you saw America. Now give me a glass.
I can use the money I saved for my theater union membership.
But I want to give you pleasure.
Well, think of something else.
All right. Here. Now, play some more music if you want to, but I'm going up. It's late.
It's always late with you.
Is it? Good night.
Good night. I thought about tearing the check up, but instead I hid it. Then I sat at her dining table and wrote her another letter. I feel I stand in a desert, with my hands outstretched, and you are raining down on me. I didn't mail it, because that would have been impossible, right?
It's easy to live when you're in love.
Miss Bellavette's apartment on 53rd and Lexington, New York City, January 15th, 1949, 11:45 a.m.
A trip west?
Or northwest, and probably for a couple of weeks.
Why?
Why?
Well, do you know her as well as that?
I've seen her a few times.
Oh, you didn't mention that. Just the two of you?
Yes.
And leaving on the 18th? Meaning you'll miss the opening of your show?
I don't think it's going to be so much to miss.
Then it's definite.
Yes.
Well, it's damn surprising, that's all. Do you like her that much?
I like being with her. I like talking to her. I like people that I can talk to. Oh,
sounds like you got one hell of a crush. And what happens if she gets tired of you and kicks you out? Well?
Oh, why don't you just leave me alone?
Leave you alone?
Yes.
You mean about our trip to Europe, too?
Yes.
Listen, Terry. Did she ever make any passes at you?
Do you think that I'd tell you if she had? God, for me to have found her.
But you can't just give me marching orders out of your life. You know, you act like I'm not worth anything. That I... It isn't fair, Terry. I can't compete. Where is this going to go?
I had to say goodbye to him, and I did. How else do you kick somebody out? How else do you kick out an emotion?
He couldn't compete. What a line. Oh, it's always the same play, just repeated with different casts. Lines for the mother, lines for the daughter, for the husband and the lover. Talk about classic. What do they say makes a play a classic?
A classic is something with a basic human situation.
Well, I guess we are that, baby. There! Okay. I can buy a raincoat on the road somewhere. Florence can take care of the beds when she comes in on Monday to lock the house up. The trunk is full. Illinois, here we come. Well, get in.
Are human relations like that always? Like gravel. A little yielding and noisy, so all the world can hear. So you always have to listen for the step of the intruder's foot.
Was my husband happy? I've never done anything to embarrass him socially, and that's all he cares about, really. There's a certain woman at the club that I wish he'd married. Her life is entirely filled with giving exquisite little dinner parties and being carried out of the best bars feet first. I think he picked me out like a rug for his living room. And he made a bad mistake. It's getting to be a kind of disease, isn't it? Not being able to love. Maybe it's the times.
What do you actually say on the phone after you talk to Rindy?
That the divorce is going to take about 6 weeks longer than we thought. Some lawyer's red tape. And that he has an idea I might still change my mind. He wants to fool himself.
Did he say anything about me?
He asked if I'd seen any more of that nice-looking girl. If there's one thing I can't stand, is a hypocrite.
I never took that check he gave me, you know. I stuck it under the cloth on the table in the dining room.
What made you think of that?
I don't know. I should have torn it up.
Well, don't worry. Nobody's going to go looking under a cloth. Where on the map are we now?
About halfway across Ohio. Next town, Defiance.
Really?
Really.
I know Chicago as well as I know Manhattan. I'm going to call some people I know, then show you the loop and Lakeshore Drive and the stockyards, and we're going to stay at the Drake. We're going to ring down for double Gibsons, four of them, which will be the first proper drink I've had since we left New York. You do realize? Oh, my God, I must be happy. And then we're going to unpack our suitcases all over our respective beds and take the hottest bath we've had this trip. Do you like caviar?
No, but I wish I did.
Why?
Because people always like caviar so much, and they do like it.
Acquired tastes are always more pleasant and harder to get rid of. Let me know the secret, would you, baby?
She was happy. But I'd seen two girls in that restaurant Abby had taken me to, the Palermo, kissing. I knew people did that, and more. But if I asked Carol to do that, would she push me away? Even if I asked her just to let me hold her, maybe everything would vanish. Vanish in an instant.
Coffee? Flask right there.
I'm fine.
Okay, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Do you realize how many times a day you make me ask you that? Don't you think it's a little inconsiderate?
You make me feel like a wisp of smoke. Like I've done nothing. You've lived and married and had a child. Meanwhile,
I... create things, too.
You mean I will create things. Might create things. One day.
You will. You will. Which road am I looking out for?
Highway 20 going west.
Any clues from the map on a good town for tonight?
Maybe Dubuque, but it's about 200 miles away.
We might make it, even if it snows. I wanted to go through Rockford. Abby said she'd write.
You wish Abby'd come along, don't you?
No. Damn the snow. It's getting heavier.
Were you and she together long?
For 2 months. My marriage was failing and I was weak. Then I was too afraid.
But if you felt the same way about her as she felt about...
For the sake of 2 months? When you have a husband and child, you know, things are a little different.
Are they? You can just start and stop.
When you haven't got a chance, yes.
I don't believe that. Did you tell Hodge?
Yes. But it turned out he already knew. Please don't remind me of my mistakes. I'm going to have to pull off somewhere pretty soon if this keeps up. And I have to telephone Rindy before she heads for school in the morning. She's been in some kind of fight with another little girl, Hodge said. I need to get her to apologize. Dubuque, 175. Listen, why don't you get some sleep?
That night, I woke up with the lights of a city in my face, a city whose name I didn't know. Sleep clung to me as I walked across the hotel lobby, as I rode up in the elevator, and as I watched Carol opening her suitcase on a double bed. She said, "What are you standing there for?" And I said, Carol, I love you.
I know.
Can I sleep with you tonight?
Well, you see the bed. Double was all they had.
Yeah.
Put out the light.
I will remember every detail of that room forever. She didn't have to ask me if what we were doing was right, and no one had to tell me because it could not have been more right or perfect. And the next morning, crossing the hotel lobby, I thought the same thing. The glass of the barbershop, the black man shining shoes, the man in the dark overcoat with creases down the sides of his mouth who looked at me over the top of the newspaper and then slumped in his chair and pretended to go on reading. I thought, I will remember all of this forever. All of it. Her hand, her voice inches away, her hair on my breasts as I arced into space. Carol?
Yes?
What town is this?
This? Hang on. This baby is Waterloo. Isn't that awful?
They say there's a couple of Waterloos in every state.
Do they?
Was it the same with me as with Abby?
No. I go to sleep. To rest.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that in public.
Do what?
Look at me like that.
The next night, we stopped in a restaurant in an evergreen forest and drank French brandy somewhere nearly in Nevada. Carol had a foot touching mine under the table, like in a play, and there was a man sitting alone at the next table smoking. He looked up at one point, and I thought of the man sitting with a newspaper in the hotel lobby in Waterloo, the one with the long creases down the side of his mouth. Didn't this man have the same eyes? The same look in his eyes? I wasn't sure.
Hey, Angel. Come back.
Sorry. What?
I just wanted to tell you something.
What?
That I've changed my mind about something. I'm not afraid anymore. You make me not afraid.
No?
No.
We finished our drinks and drove another 90 miles. Right over the border.
Maybe it's because...
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold.
Salt Lake City, February 13th, 1949, 3:30 p.m. Exactly.
And if you just sign the register here. Thank you, ma'am. Mrs. H.F. Aird. Say, are you Mrs. Carol Aird?
Yes. What?
A message for you, ma'am. Telegram.
Thank you. Oh, I see. Could you tell me, where is the Belvedere Hotel?
Three blocks up and then across to your right there, ma'am. Past the public library.
Thank you. I have to pick up another message there, apparently.
Shall I have your bags taken up, ma'am?
Best just to wait. If it's only three blocks, I'll walk. My friend here can wait in the lobby.
Can I come with you?
Of course, Therese, if you want to.
Is it bad news?
Abby just says there's a telegram for me at the Bavadir Hotel.
Maybe she's had a brainstorm and decided to fly out and join us.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Is it Rindy?
I don't know, Therese. Oh, God. Salt Lake City have to be so cold? Come on.
Telegram, ma'am?
Yes, if you could check, please. Aired, Mrs. Carol Aired.
Ma'am?
Thank you.
Well, Carol, what is it?
Read it yourself.
A detective? What for?
Not here, darling. Outside. Thank you so much for your help.
Ma'am?
Following us? Does that mean actually with us?
Yes. Divorce is a very dirty business, darling. I wonder if they had time for a dictaphone in Chicago. It's the only place we stayed more than about 10 hours. I rather hope they did. You remember Chicago?
A dictaphone.
They record you with a wire.
Carol. Carol, I saw someone. A man with a newspaper. Watching us.
What? Where?
In the lobby in Waterloo.
In Waterloo? How ironic.
And then again in the restaurant last night.
Then he's probably here already, checking every hotel in town. The cleanest town in the United States. I need to call Abby. And I need a drink. Maybe I better put you on a train and send you home. No need for you to be mixed up in all this. And Hodge can have me followed to Alaska if you want.
This is about Rindy, isn't it? Hodge wants her.
Yes. And maybe with this he thinks he can get her.
Just because we're traveling together.
Yes.
I should leave you. Take the train.
Damn him.
I can get a bus somewhere from here, then the train.
Do you want to?
Of course not. I just think it's best.
I'm damned if you'll go. I want you with me.
Do you mean that?
Don't be silly. Let's go to Denver. I know a place just south of there that's beautiful in the snow.
Denver?
Denver. Yellowstone. Anywhere. Anywhere except Reno. Reno would be just a little too funny, don't you think? You'll just have to watch out for your little man with a newspaper, that's all. Drink up. Could we get the check here, please? So how's the plumbing tonight? Any hotter?
Yes.
Good.
Not quite hot enough, but...
What a rotten time I give you, don't I?
Another rye. Rye depresses you.
Does it?
Yes.
Cheers. Well, maybe we lost our little man. And if not, I hope he sells whatever he's got to the papers and they rub my husband's nose in his own mess. And I hope he gets charged $50,000. Wear that suede shirt I bought you in Sioux Falls, will you? The one with the beading? I hung it on the front of the wardrobe. There.
What is it?
There. Underneath the dressing table, look. Fetch me my scissors from the bathroom, would you, darling? Damn it. Oh, damn it.
There. Is that what you meant about Chicago? That they'd listen?
Yeah. The old dictaphone trick.
But how did it get into the room? Did the hotel people let him in?
He probably had a key to fit. There. A little black box with a tail of wire. Like a rat. Like a portrait of my husband.
Did it hear us when we came back here this afternoon?
I don't know. Well, I think we've been in this hotel just about long enough, don't you? Maybe we'll meet our little friend in the lobby as we're checking out, and I hope we do. I'd like to ask him face to face how much he's getting.
And if I had a gun in my pocket, I'd like to.
My first thought was the check.
I'd like to point it right at his face so that he knows how this feels.
That somebody could have gone to the house and found that check she'd given me.
The letter.
And the letter.
What?
There was a letter I wrote you.
It seems to me I stand in a desert.
I hid it in a book in Rindy's room by the bed.
And you are raining down on me.
And?
They could make it mean a lot.
Okay. Which book? I'll call Abby from the lobby. Which book, Therese? Think!
She called her lawyer, too. And I thought, where are you? Where are you? Why is it taking so long? And then, when she came back...
My lawyer hasn't heard anything. And I didn't tell him anything. Darling, I've got to go back to New York.
Why?
You can keep the car and wait for me somewhere like Tucson or Santa Fe for a week, and then I can fly back out.
You mean leave you?
Only for a week. I'll wire Harge that I'm on my way so you won't have to worry about the detective anymore. Abby's going to look for the check and the letter. She can get the key from Florence. Oh, please say you forgive me for all of this. Therese?
So that's what we did. I drove the car back to Sioux Falls and found a room 2 blocks from the hotel where we stayed. I told the landlady I was waiting for a friend.
A man or woman friend, miss?
A woman. She'll be coming out to join me in a week. February 15th. Carol finally called.
Abby found the check, darling, but couldn't find the letter. We found the book, but there's nothing in it. Don't worry. I'm sure no one's been in the house. And then we can't do anything until we know Hodge's next move.
Then there was a telegram.
Don't telephone. Stop. Explain later. Stop. Love.
Later? I wondered what she was doing. Listening to some stranger's accusations. Thinking of me. Was there time for that? I wrote to her, telling her I was walking round and round the town and wishing I could keep on walking in just one direction, east, and I got my reply with a check for $250.
Come now, and don't wait. Take a plane.
I called from the phone in the hallway, waiting with the receiver pressed against my ear while it rang 20 times. I didn't want to call the lawyer or Abby because...
Connecting you now, madam.
Hold the line, please, caller.
Caller, are you...
Yes, damn it. Hello?
Hello? What's happened, Carol?
This wire is tapped, Therese. Are you coming? I can't speak very long.
Yes, I can leave tonight, but what is it? I need to know what's happening.
Therese, come home so I can talk to you.
Will they let me see you?
I don't know. I've written you. You might get it tomorrow. Goodbye, Therese. I've got to say goodbye now. Hang on to yourself.
Your friend got delayed, huh? Hope nothing's the matter.
No. Yes, delayed.
Are you okay, honey?
Yes, I need to pack.
You sure it would be right to drive this time of night, miss? Miss, you should wait till the morning.
I did wait, and in the morning, the letter came. My darling, it started. I read it once, and then went back and read it again. My darling.
My darling, I am not even going into court. This morning I was given a private showing of what Harge intended to bring against me. Yes, they have a few conversations recorded. Namely Waterloo, and it would be useless to try to face a court with this. I should be ashamed. Not for myself, oddly enough, but for my own child. To say nothing of not wanting you to have to appear. Also... Florence found the note you wrote me and sold it to Harge. At a price. I never liked her. Everything was very simple this morning. I simply surrendered. The important thing now is what I intend to do in the future, the lawyers said. On this depends whether I would ever see my child again. Because Harge has, with ease now, complete custody of her. The question was, would I stop seeing you? A dozen faces opened their mouth like the judges of doomsday, and I said I would. For this promise, they present me with a wonderful reward. The privilege of seeing my child a few weeks of the year. My darling, I wasn't prepared. Not after those weeks with you. You say you love me however I am, when I curse. I say I love you always. The person you are, and the one you will become. I would say it in court if I thought it would mean anything to those people, or possibly change anything, because those are not the words I am afraid of. I am sending you this letter, but darling, I wonder if you will understand.
Oh, I understood. Carol loved her child more than me. For a moment, I thought my body might actually shatter. Then I went to the basin and washed my face in cold water and started to pack. I needed to run right out of that morass of love and hate. Yeah, that's right. Hate. Hate.
Baby, don't be mad at me. Sorry.
New York, 53rd and Lexington, February 22nd, 1949.
I answered an advertisement for a receptionist stroke filing clerk. It said little typing required. I seemed to think I could do it, and I guess I wanted to step into somebody else's shoes. The job was $40 weekly, and at the end of the first week, I went to Bonwit and Teller and bought myself a new black dress. Everything in my closet seemed like clothes that had belonged to me years ago. I cut my hair, even my old room. I kept thinking how small and tragic it looked, like how long ago and forgotten the work hanging on the walls. And then, Abby called.
Do you know I had to call South Dakota twice to find out you'd come back? Therese?
Is Carol there with you?
She's taking a rest.
What's the matter with her, Abby? Is she...
She wrote you, didn't she? Do you expect her to just bounce up like a rubber ball? What do you think this is? A game?
You can't blame me for...
Leaving that letter in a book for a housekeeper to find was very stupid. God, you're young.
Well, I don't feel it. Can I call her?
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Well, you're not me. And I want to call her.
Any message you have, I can give her.
Okay. You tell her I won't trouble her. Not by telephoning, not by writing, and not with any messages. People's lives are their own, right? I made an appointment with the co-producer of a show on Broadway for which Ivor Harkavy was doing the sets. An English show with some London star they were bringing in. The co-producer looked at my work indifferently and said as far as he knew, Mr. Harkavy didn't need any more assistance. I thought about the money that black dress had cost me and thanked him anyway. I did it with a smile, and that seemed to change his mind about something.
Listen, Mr. Harkavy is giving a cocktail party for Genevieve Crennel at the St. Regis to launch the show at about 5 o'clock tomorrow. Why don't you drop by? At least you can meet him.
Well,
Sweet D, 5 until 7. I'll be there until 6.
Thank you, Mr. Bernstein. I'd love to. Who knew? Perhaps I would get to meet the great man himself. I walked 12 blocks like I'd got the job already.
and then stepped into a drugstore. They had telephone booths. I walked away and turned back. What was I afraid of? Of Abby? Of Carol? Of her voice?
Therese?
There was a shock of hearing her, but then nothing.
You sound different. Am I going to see you?
The words weren't hers. She sounded cautious.
Or don't you want to? Just once. What about this afternoon? The bar in the Ritz Tower at 4:30. Therese. Please.
She was late. Quarter of an hour late. I'm wearing the same fur coat as the day I first saw her. Her face was thinner.
It's nice of you to see me. Do you hate me, Therese?
No.
You did for a while, though, didn't you?
Not quite. But she could read that in my face.
Well, and now? Now you're all grown up. Grown up hair, grown up clothes.
I've learned a few things.
What?
That I... that people's lives are their own.
You know, you look very fine. Like you've... emerged all of a sudden. Is that what comes of getting away from me?
No.
Thank you.
Her eyes. Those gray eyes. They were still so beautiful. What are you thinking?
What do you think? That first day in the store.
Why'd you choose me at the counter?
Because you were the only girl not busy as hell, if you can believe that. Therese.
Her thumb and the tip of her middle finger resting on the saucer of her teacup.
I love you.
Like I'd seen them in Chicago, in Colorado, in all those places whose names I'd forgotten.
I know you don't feel the same way about me, do you?
I don't know.
That's the same thing.
A milk jug, a teapot. A knife. Have you seen Rindy?
Yes, last Sunday. She's allowed to come and visit me 3 afternoons a year for an hour.
I thought you said a few weeks of the year.
Well, a little more has happened. I refuse to make a lot of those promises they asked for, in the end. The ones about not seeing you. And so Harge told the lawyers everything. Anyway, it's all over. One gets over things.
Yes.
Harge and I are selling the house, and I've taken an apartment up on Madison Avenue. And a job, believe it or not. The apartment's a nice big one, big enough for 2. I was hoping...
What was I afraid of?
I was hoping you might like to come and live with me. But I guess you won't.
Of her? Or myself?
Would you... Well?
No. No, I don't think so. I wanted to take hold of her hair and hold it tight. Hold her.
That's your decision.
Hadn't she heard the indecision in my voice? Yes.
And that's sad.
Look, I've got to get to a cocktail party by 6 for a possible theater job. Ivor Harkavy's going to be there, the designer. You could come if you wanted to. It's at the St. Regis. I know they wouldn't mind if I brought someone.
No, thanks, darling. You'd better run along by yourself. I've got a date of my own at the Elysee in a minute or 2. As a matter of fact, I'll get the check. Go on, if you have to.
Carol!
There's a couple of things of yours at the house. Shall I...
No. Really. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
No. That doesn't matter.
and I looked away. Looked away, left the bar, and ran across the street. That was it, I thought, and the way it should be. No lingering hand clasp, no backward glance, no theater, no goodbye.
Oh. Well, hello, New York.
Vivi, darling.
Miss Cornell!
Drink, ma'am?
Oh, thank you. Can you tell me, is that Mr. Harkavy over by the door?
With Miss Cornell? I guess so.
Ah, Miss Bellavette, you made it.
Yes, I did.
Could I introduce Miss Crawford, our makeup consultant?
Oh, please, let's not talk business.
Mr. Stevens, Mr. Fenlon.
How do you do?
Miss Bellavette.
So, are you an actress, too?
Ivor.
No, a set designer.
Ivor, this is Miss Bellavette.
Glad to meet you, Miss Bellavette. Mr. Bernstein tells me that he likes your work.
Enough to let me squeeze in as your assistant on the show?
I like that. Come up to my studio tomorrow about 11 and we'll talk.
Thank you. I will.
Now, I need to talk to Mr. Bernstein. Could you come and join me in saying goodbye to some people here who are leaving already?
I wouldn't mind. Sure. Miss Bellavette.
Hello. Genevieve Cornell. And you are?
Therese Bellavette.
And are you part of our little venture, Miss Bellavette?
Only a part. I'm a set designer.
How lovely. And tell me, Miss Bellavette, do you like champagne?
Of course.
Of course. Well, once all this has died down, why don't you toddle up to Suite 619? That's my suite. We're having an inner circle gathering later. And I'd be delighted.
I'd love to.
Good. I saw you when I came in. I don't suppose you'll mind if I ask how old you are.
I'm 21.
How incredible. And are you a New Yorker?
Yes.
For a while, I thought you might be a minor.
Why? Is that a crime?
No. Something's odd, of course. Cigarette.
Thank you. And then it happened.
Don't forget.
I smiled and looked at the doorway across the room.
Mr. Harkavy will be there too, I'm sure.
And I thought of Carol appearing in a different doorway at the Elysee.
Miss Bellavette.
And that was it.
Miss Bellavette.
Thanks. I thought I could join you, but I've just remembered I've got to be somewhere else.
Somewhere else? Did I say something wrong?
No, thanks for asking me. I'm sure we'll see each other at a rehearsal.
I'm sure.
Goodbye. My coat. A corridor. Stairs. A door. Air. Streets. Curbs. Wings. Carol.
Can I help you, madam?
What? Oh, yes. I mean, no. I'm looking for somebody. And I was, but I couldn't see her, not at first. Then, when I did, she was across the room, half hidden in a shadow. The lights weren't bright, and she raised her hand slowly and brushed her hair back, once on either side. Carol. That gesture was her, still her, and no one else. There was a man sat opposite her. I didn't know who. And when she looked up and saw me, she stared like I was meeting her all over again. Her arm lifted suddenly. And it was Carol. And it would be Carol in 1,000 cities, 1,000 houses. In foreign lands where we would go together, in heaven and in hell. Then, as I was about to go to her, her hand waved a quick, eager greeting that I had never seen before. And when she did that, I walked towards her.